a collector of rare books. He had a friend who said, "Hey, I just pitched out a bunch of books, and yeah, there was an old dusty Bible in there, and Guten something was on it." The guy said, "Gutenberg? Yeah, it was on it." And, "Oh, you didn't pitch that out, did you?" Yeah. You wouldn't have wanted it anyway. I mean, it had all this scribbling on it by some guy named Martin Luther. Now I say that, you think, can you imagine how much a Bible like that would be worth? Written, you know, Gutenberg printing press, which would have been the first printing press, one of the first printed Bibles ever, with Martin Luther's notes in it. Can you imagine how valuable a Bible like that would be in our world today? And I'm thinking, so how valuable is this one? I got this on Amazon. It's not by Gutenberg. Doesn't have any notes in it from Martin Luther. But it has a lot of words in here by God. I think, how valuable is this? An ordinary Bible, one that's in almost every house in America and every hotel room in America. How precious is this? How valuable is this? Today we're in Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is the longest of all the Psalms, 176 verses. And it's all about the Word of God. In every verse of 176 verses of the Psalm, it all points back to how precious the Word of God is. It's written in the form of an acrostic, which is 22 paragraphs, and the first paragraph would be the first letter of the Hebrew Bible, which is Aleph, I think, if I'm saying it right. The second paragraph every verse begins with the word Beth, which is B in the Hebrew Bible, and so on and so on. You understand? So 8 verses in the first paragraph, all beginning with the letter A or Aleph. Second paragraph, all beginning with the letter B or Beth. The third paragraph, same way. Why is it acrostic? I found this interesting here. There's several reasons. According to Dr. Boyce, he says it may be an acrostic device used to add certain beauty to the psalm, as rhyme does to our poetry. But he also said this: it may indicate the subject is being covered completely from A to Z. This is particularly attractive possibility in regard to Psalm 119, which explores the nature and the value of the written word of God exhaustively. And then a third option could be a device used to help students learn not only their alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, but also to memorize the psalm that way. I want to begin with the first paragraph, first 8 verses. I can't read the whole thing, it's just so long. But the first 8 verses, this is what it says: "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." Now, you look in this paragraph here and notice every verse it emphasizes the word of God. In verse 1, talks about the law of the Lord. The second verse talks about keeping his statutes. The third verse talks about walking in his ways. You've laid down your precepts. And then the next verse talks about your decrees. The next verse talks about your commands and your righteous laws. And then once again, your decrees. And if you go through the whole psalm, you see all these different words for the word of God: the law of the Lord, statutes, his ways, precepts, decrees, commands, righteous laws, testimonies, your judgments, your commandments, your ordinances, your promises, the word of God, your truths, all these different words for the word of God. Now, here's my challenge for us today when we think about this psalm. My challenge is, how well do you know the word of God? How often do you read the Word of God? How diligently do you study the Word of God? Do you cherish the Word of God? It concerns me, we talk about this a lot, how biblically illiterate our world is today. I heard this story about a preacher who brand new at his church, and he wanted to meet with the young boys of the church and do a class with them and find out, you know, what they knew, what they didn't know. And so his first question was, does anybody here know who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And all the boys denied it. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. Well, he was appalled by this. He went to the elders and said, I can't believe what happened in that class. I asked them if anybody knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and they all said they didn't know. And the elder, one of the elders said, well, no, preacher, I can tell you're kind of upset about this, but I've known those boys all my life, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't do it, I believe them. You know, we just ought to just take some money out of the church budget, and we can rebuild the wall. Don't worry about it, you know? How biblically illiterate we are. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness. There is no love. There is no knowledge of God in the land. There's only cursing and lying and murder and stealing and adultery. Now, that was written 3,000 years ago, but the same could be said about America today. People are once again being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge of God, the lack of knowledge of God's laws and his ways. Marriages are disintegrating, and families are falling apart. Churches are closing. Hollywood mocks God. Hollywood mocks those who believe in God. Hollywood mocks the church, the bride of Christ. The typical Christian today knows more about actors than they know about the Ten Commandments. People know their TV channels better than they know the books of the Bible. Our kids can recite Hamilton, but they can't recite Scripture. Why is this? You know, some people would blame the seminaries. Seminaries aren't doing a good job. Some would blame the preachers. The preachers aren't doing a good job. Some people would blame Satan because he's doing a really good job. Or maybe it's our culture, our society that we live in, that people are just so down on church, down on the Word of God. Chuck Swindoll, he says, but the final analysis, ignorance is a personal choice. It's your choice. And my question today is why? Why are we a people who have chosen not to know the Word of God? Why are we a people that are neglecting the Word of God? You know, Jesus rebuked the Sadducees. The Sadducees being, you know, some of the most intelligent, enlightened people in the Bible. And he rebuked them in Mark chapter 12. He says, are you not in error because you do not know the Scriptures? Or the power of God? The Sadducees, all these smart religious leaders who didn't practice the laws of God. And he says, you don't know the Scriptures. And because you don't know the Scriptures, you don't know the power of God. And Jesus urged his disciples to abide in him, which is linked to abiding in the word in John chapter 15, verse 7. And those who love him, Jesus said, would keep his word and keep his commandments. And Jesus prayed that his disciples would be sanctified and that that would happen by his word. How important is the word? As disciples proclaimed the word, the Holy Spirit would convict men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, it says in John chapter 16. And let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very well-known passage. And I want to read... Let's see what stands out here. These are the commands, the decrees, the laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Now, what's Moses saying here? Basically, Moses is saying, I want to give you the Word of God. I want to teach you the Word of God. I want you to observe the Word of God so you can do a couple things. One, so that you can fear the Lord. And secondly, so you can enjoy life. You see how it's linked together? By living your life the way that God has programmed us to live, this is what will lead to us enjoying life. It goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And tie them as symbols to on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Why? Why teach them to your children? Why impress them on your children? Why talk about them all the time? So that you can enjoy life. You see how important the Word of God is. And then, so this is how Deuteronomy starts. Deuteronomy means the second law. Moses is giving them the law of God for the second time. The first time was in Exodus. So this is how Deuteronomy begins. By the time you get to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, this is what it says. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the other nations on earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your baskets, your kneading troughs will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in. You will be blessed when you go out. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. If you observe the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? And it goes on, and by the time you get to verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you. All these curses. And then it lists all the different curses. If you do not obey the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it's so important, the Word became flesh. That's how important it was. Jesus wanted you to understand the will of God because he wanted to bless you. He wanted to give you a life that you would enjoy, a life that you would love if you would follow him and listen to him. And then John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How do we remain in Christ? How do we abide in Christ so that we can bear fruit? We do this by obeying his word, by keeping his commands. If you obey my commands, my word, my decrees, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. Remember, John Nally pointed this out to me after service, that Jesus was about doing his Father's business. About doing what his word said. This is what you and I should be about, doing our Father's business, obeying his word, living out his word. How important is it to know God's word? How important is it to obey God's word? How important is it to you to cherish God's word? So I've got a few lists that I want to give you today, and I want to try to go relatively fast. Might happen, might not, I don't know. But first of all, what the Bible is. What is the Bible? According to Psalm 119, let me give you a couple things here that it is. I'll give you a total of 8 things here. One thing that stood out to me, in verse 9, it's a cleaning agent. That's what the Bible is, it's a cleaning agent. How can a man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word. How important is it that you keep your ways pure? Think about this. How important is it to you to take a shower, take a bath, to be physically clean? And I think, you know, as Americans, it seems like a lot of us, you know, we value this. I love to have a nice hot shower. I love that. It's a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. And now I know there's some people in our world, I don't know when the last time they took a shower, but it seems like for the most of us, most part, a lot of us, we want to be physically clean. Okay, is there not that much of an emphasis on being internally clean, spiritually clean? How come we care about the outside, but we don't care about the inside? Or do we care about the inside as much as we care about the outside? As much as we long for a hot shower or a hot bath, what about letting the Word of God clean us on the inside? How can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your Word. That's how important the Word of God is. It keeps our insides clean. And it goes on in Psalm 119, verse 14. The Bible is a treasure. I will rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Verse 72, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Is that true for you? You know, some people, the Bible, they cherish the Bible so much, they'd rather have this than silver or gold. But a lot of people would rather have silver or gold, not the Bible. Do you understand what a treasure it is? It's a counselor. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. How much money do people spend every year on a counselor to fix their lives when the Bible could fix their lives? If they would just read the Bible, if they would just live according to the Bible. It's a song. Verse 54, your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. You know, Christian music is all about, you know, a lot of times we sing the word of God. That's what the word psalm is. A psalm is a song. So we're singing the word of God. As we sing the word of God, we memorize it, we internalize it, and we're transformed by it. This is why we sing the word of God. Have you thought about this? Country music is all about like beer and trucks and divorce. And if that's your thing, I guess it's not my thing. Okay, rock and roll is all about sex and drugs. And Christian music, it's all about the word of God. And some people, it's boring. No, it's awesome because that's how we're getting the word of God into us. So I would encourage you, listen to some good Christian music out there. Sing the Psalms. It's sweeter than honey is what it says in Psalm 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God is sweet. It's satisfying. It's a lamp. Psalm 119, 105, a very popular verse. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Do you understand that? That it guides us. Because our sin blinds us. And we live in a world that's becoming spiritually dark. So how are we going to find our way? We find our way when we get into the Word of God. And the Word of God leads us to where we need to go. It guides us. It directs us. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all of our sins. Are we walking in the light? Are we walking in the light? The Bible, the Word of God, is a light for my path to show me the way. Psalm 162 says it's a great spoil. I rejoice in your promises like one who finds great spoil. Verse 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy to my heart. So they're a great spoil. They're a heritage. They're a treasure. They're a lamp. They're a song. They're a counselor. They're a blessing, a cleaning agent. So what does the Bible do? We talked about what the Bible is. What does the Bible do? And the biggest thing I think I want you to see here is it blesses you. The Word of God blesses you. So you go back to the beginning of the psalm, and we read this already, verse 1 and verse 2. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Do you understand? Do you want to be blessed? I want to be blessed by God. And do you understand how to be blessed? This is so simple. It's right here. It's telling us how to be blessed, and nobody's doing it. It blesses us by making obedience a joy. It blesses us by teaching us to hate what is evil and to love that which is holy. It blesses us by giving us peace and stability. This is what it says in verse 165. Give peace to those have those who love your law. Great peace have those who love your law. And nothing can make them stumble. I have there on your outline a note here. The Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Have you seen that be true before? People who know the Word of God are living good lives. So I want you to see the Word of God blesses you. Have you been blessed by studying the Word of God, by applying the Word of God? And it gives life. Verse 25, I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Verse 37, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Verse 40, how I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. Preserve my life. Preserve my life. The word of God is what preserves our life. The word of God is what gives us life. And it gives us strength. Verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, how does the word of God strengthen you? If you're reading the Word of God, you're studying the Word of God, how does that make us strong? It strengthens our trust in God's faithfulness. It encourages us when we need to be encouraged, and it empowers us as we learn to do things God's way, as we depend upon His power. So it gives us strength, and it gives us liberty. In verse 45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. I will walk about in freedom because I'm following the Lord, because I'm listening to the Lord. See, that's a strange thing to a lot of people. It's like an oxymoron. People think, you know, when you follow the Ten Commandments, that would be bondage. No, the opposite is true. When you follow God's word, that's what liberates us. The people who rebel against God's word are the people who are living in bondage. And it's so obvious. If you look at it, you see it all the time. People who are rebelling against God are ruining their lives. But people who are listening to God, they find freedom. They find liberty. And it gives us wisdom. Verse 66, teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. You get to verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. I gain understanding from your precepts. See, as we study the word of God, we become wise. We become discerning, knowing right from wrong, knowing good from bad. And it talks about teachers. We can learn a lot from teachers. Teachers, they learn a lot from books. Elders learn from experience. Here it says, I have more insight than my teachers, more understanding than the elders. What teachers know, what elders know, they deserve a lot of respect. But without the word of God, it's insufficient. It's the word of God that completes it all. It's the word of God that gives us true wisdom. And get this, what the Bible does, it creates friendships. Verse 63, I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. It's my love for the word of God that brought me and Stephanie together, because she loved the word of God. So it's our love for the word of God and that and chocolate, both those things together. But that's what brought us together, and it's what brought us together here as a church. It's what makes a church. I love the word of God. I want to study the word of God. You love the word of God. You want to study the word of God. That's why we know each other. That's what so many of our friendships are based on, is because we want to live for God. In my Navy days, I had friends everywhere I went, not in the bars, but in the churches, people who longed to be right with God. And they were good friendships. And this is why we call each other brothers and call each other, you know, brothers and sisters. We're a family because of the word of God. How special that is. And it gives us comfort. Verse 50, my comfort is from suffering. My comfort in my suffering is this, your promises preserve my life. There's more than 60 verses in this one passage in Psalm 119 that talks about trials and persecution, which we're all going to experience. It's going to happen to all of us. Trials and persecution and just life. We all face them. But for the believer, they find their strength in the word of God. They find comfort in the word of God. Verse 76 says, may your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promises to your servant. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And one more thing it does, it gives direction. The word of God gives direction, and how desperate we are for direction when we don't know what to do. Well, read the word of God and discover what God says. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. See, if you're filled with the word of God, if you're meditating on the word of God, if you're thinking about the word of God, if you're observing the word of God, your life then can be informed and directed by God. But if you don't know what the word of God says, you're going to walk around aimlessly and lost. So we see what the Bible is, we see what the Bible does, and then we get to the back page, the outline, and what we must do with the Bible. My challenge to each one of us here, what we need to do. First of all, read it. I don't have that, that's not one of your blanks here. But read it. Read the Word of God. Americans revere the Bible, they just don't read it, that's what Albert Mohler says. We revere it, we cherish it, we speak highly of it, but nobody's reading it. You need to have a plan. You need to be disciplined. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. And we are disciples of Jesus. And we're disciples because we're disciplining ourselves to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and to know the Word of God, and to live the Word of God. So read it, first of all. Love it. I hope that something I say today will inspire us to love and cherish the Word of God, delight in it. It was Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law, is what the psalmist writes. Oh, how I love your law. See, that's just not common for a lot of people to say that they love the law of God. But the psalmist saw, this is where our hope is. This is where my strength is. This is where my comfort is. This is where my wisdom comes from. I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord. It says in verse 16, I delight in your decrees. In verse 35, direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. In verse 47, for I delight in your commands because I love them. Verse 167, I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. Oh, for a world that loves the Word of God, that cherished the Word of God. So love it, delight in it, treasure it. We've talked about that already. Verse 72, it's more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. It's a treasure. We need to study it. Number three, study it. 12 times the psalmist writes, teach me. Teach me. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You know what I love about studying the Bible? It's like a treasure hunt all the time. And I see things like, I've been studying the Bible, I'm 55 years old. I've been studying the Bible for a long time. And all the time I see things I never saw before. I can look at the same verse I looked at last year and I see something completely different. I didn't see that last year. You know why? Because the Word of God is living and breathing. And it's constantly convicting in areas that I wasn't convicted before. So we need to be studying the Word of God, and we need to memorize it. I've tried to hit that hard over the past couple of weeks. Memorize the Word of God. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 176 says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. They should be so in us because we should memorize them. Alexander Campbell, he said of his mother, having a particularly ready and retentive memory, she treasured up the scriptures early in her life and could quote and apply them with great fluency and pertinency from childhood to old age. And Alexander himself, he caught his mother's good habit and memorized a great deal of the Bible. He said, I can but gratefully add that to my mother as well as to my father, I am indebted for having memorized in early life almost all the writings of King Solomon, his Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and many of the Psalms of his father David. They have not only been written on the tablet of my memory, but also incorporated with my modes of thinking and speaking. See, when we internalize the Word of God, it affects how not only our memory, it affects how we think, how we speak, how we do life. And we have a couple of people in our church who have committed to memory large sections of the Word of God. It's very impressive. I wish we would all do that. Hopefully next year we're going to have a plan where we're all going to start working hard on memorizing the Word of God. I'm going to challenge everybody at least one scripture a month. Is that asking too much? One scripture a month to internalize, to memorize, to work on together as a church family. So we want to be intentional about that. We want to be disciplined about this, to memorize the Word of God so that we can meditate on the Word of God. That's number five. Meditate on it all day long. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Verse 23, the rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Verse 48, I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. I meditate on them all day long, is what it says in verse 97. I meditate on your promises. To meditate on the Word of God, what does that look like? What does that mean? I'm thinking that it's to feed on the Word of God, just like you do breakfast and lunch and supper and afternoon snacks and morning snacks and late night snacks. We like to feed on food. But what about feeding on the Word of God? I love how Billy Graham talked about in his house. There was a Bible in every room, and now and then he would just pass by a Bible, and he'd have to stop, and he'd have to read a scripture just because he needed a holy snack. He just needed a snack on the Word of God. That's how we need to be looking at the Word of God. The Bible in every room. So and take time now and then just to get a verse here, get a verse there, and snack on it, meditate on it, feast on it, feast on the Word of God. And number six, trust it. Verse 42, then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do you trust in the word of God? And number 7, obey it. Don't just memorize it. Don't just know it. Don't just meditate on it. Obey it. Put it into practice. And this is where we began in Psalm 119. The first 8 verses, what does it talk about in verse 4? You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Verse 112 says, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Is that true of your heart? Set on keeping your decrees. And think about how important that is and how it lines up with other scriptures that we know. James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely just listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. We know this. It's more than just knowing it. It's applying it. It's living it. It's doing it. That's when we're going to see God. That's when God shows up and blows us away, when we act on what he's telling us to do. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, the wise man versus the foolish man. What was the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man built his house on the rock. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, that's the wise man who built his house on the rock. The one who hears these words and puts them into practice, who obeys, who does it. And one more thing that we need to do with the word of God, we need to share it. Verse 46, I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. When you think about the rest of the word of God, when you think about the book of Acts is just filled, the passage after passage after passage, with God's people, his church, speaking the word, proclaiming the word, spreading the word. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the disciples spoke the word with great boldness. Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God, so we would wait on tables. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the word of God spread. Then Acts chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They preached the word wherever they went. That's what the church does. We speak the word. We preach the word. Because we know there's power in the word. That's why we need to know the word. That's why we need to cherish the word. So before I shut up, and I know there's a whole lot of stuff today, sorry, but I got just a few more action steps. I didn't have room on the outline for you, so here's just, you know, it's free for nothing. One thing I would tell you, find a Bible that's easy to understand. I hear this as a complaint all the time. You know, I would read the Bible, I just don't understand it. Well, that's because you're reading a King James Bible that was written in 1611. I mean, that's a long time ago. The word of God is, the word of God hasn't changed, but language has changed, and there's so many good translations out there. Get a modern day translation, a new translation. If you don't know one, I got several in my office you can look at. But find a Bible that's easy to understand. Guard against the fatigue of familiarity. If I'm saying that right, use different versions of the Bible. You know, when you read something and, oh, yeah, I've read that before, I know that, you know. Well, read it in the Message, or read it in the Living Translation, or read it in the Amplified Version. And then new things will pop out. Things will stand out that you never saw before. It'll be fascinating to you. And I would encourage you to bring a Bible to church. I know everybody uses their phones now and iPads and stuff like that. But think about this. See, if you got your Bible, you got your Bible and you can take notes in the margin here, and you write down all the things you're thinking and what God is, how God is speaking to you. You write all these things down, and then you can pass that Bible on to your children someday. And not only two things, they can see your notes and they can see what stood out to you. I think it would be special to your children. And not only that, they see that you cherished your Bible, how much you valued your Bible. That would speak volumes to your children. And one more thing I would tell you, the fight against the sin that's keeping you from the scriptures. I heard somebody say that sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. And I would ask you, what's happening? What's going on with you? Is sin keeping you out of the word of God because you feel dirty and you feel, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to obey it anyway. So it keeps you away from the word of God. You got to deal with that. Deal with that sin so that you get into the word of God, so that you can receive the blessings of God. Psalm 19, verse 13, keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Psalm 119, verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. One more thing. Don't delay to obey. When you read it, when you see it, do it. Act on it. Verse 60, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. When God speaks to you, when God reveals something to you, when God convicts you, make it happen. Make it happen. We as a people, we as God's people, we must value Scripture above human reason, above scientific inquiry, above all other sources of truth, because God has exalted his word above all. You can pick up any other book and read it, but this book reads you. It liberates a person from the prison of myths and class and race and customs and standards and sometimes even your own beliefs, beliefs that need to be changed and your traditions that might need to be changed. It liberates you from these prisons that you've found yourself in, that the world has put you in. It is the fountain by which character is formed, mind is refined, and intellect is sharpened. As a result, one can stand against all the storms of life. It is the voice of God to you. You cannot refuse it, deny it, distort it, or dilute it. You can only bow before it. And we must pray over it, ponder it, preserve it, practice it, and proclaim it. And if we do, you will be blessed. And I want to be blessed. And I want you to be blessed. And I want your families to be blessed. And I want our nation to be blessed. And I know how to do it. We got to get back to the Word of God. You got to get back to the Word of God. So don't just talk about it. Read it. Study it. Apply it. Do it.